C1A, number 28B.
Then we have the third, the subject. You remember in the third subject, we had the prayer of sincerity, of willingness to rebuke sin and to be reformed, the prayer of reformation through that willingness to rebuke sin in us, the false prayer which is uncovered there in various ways is that which the church or religion as a whole practices. Namely, it is the prayer for the consolation of sin through a confession, or it is the prayer of confessing a sin and expecting thereby God's pardon, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. See, it is also trying to get rid of sin, but to get rid of sin through forgiveness, through what you call confession, through pardon, or through God's mercy. Whereas Christian Science is quite unique in that way and comes in and says, you can't ask God to forgive your sins. You can't ask God to pardon your sins. You can't ask God to have mercy for your sins. God is soul, and soul is the fire of soul that asks you to burn sins. That by burning sin, by rebuking sin in oneself, we have the pardon, we have the mercy, we have God's forgiveness. Or, is that clear, the third one? The fourth one is in the positive sense. We saw there that it was the prayer of honesty, where we are willing to live up to a principled attitude. The wrong sense of prayer, which is presented there, if you read through those few pages, is showing that we only need to conform, not to a principle, but to conform to a prescribed prayer, to a textual prayer, that we have to conform to a set form of prayer, to a prayer of one's professional faith, that prayer to whose religion we belong to. It is just a prayer according to a prescribed form. You see, it's more here a conforming to a worthy sense of prayer, to a literal or to a letter sense of prayer. Whereas the fourth real prayer is the prayer which says, act according to a principle. That's your prayerful attitude. The fourth prayer is acting, living, feeling according to a principled attitude. But religion comes in with a much easier recipe and says, no, all what you need is that you pray according to a prescribed form or to a prescribed text or in a prescribed way. Or let's take the fifth. The fifth, you remember, is that prayer of inward devotion to the real. And it's the prayer of spiritual deep-felt understanding, of deep-felt process of truth against a sense of superficial faith, of blind faith, blind belief. The religious prayer, see, is here uncovered as the prayer, really, of helping somebody by using a sense of prayer which religion gives, and therefore, and very much so, if you read the text, we get the feeling that it is the prayer of helping somebody through one's own sense of right, through one's own belief, through blind faith. It says that such a prayer acts on the body, just as a drug acts on the body, by changing the human mind in another form of the human mind which has its outcome on the body. And so, instead really of cherishing the deep felt desire and devotion to the spiritual, it is that sense of prayer where we try to be as God and to determine what has to be changed and how it has to be. The false sense of fatherhood which comes in. It is, you remember, you are quite clear about that. You know that most prayer in a religious way, in a religious sense, is a prayer where we first define what should be changed and where we define how it should be changed, and where we define through which means it should change. See, that's clear. It is putting up ourselves as God and say, well, this situation is wrong. And I'm going to pray about it until it changes. It should be, and then we put it up. We say, it should be such and such, and it should come about in such a way. And we put ourselves in the position of Father of the universe, of the government of the universe. And we project our sense of right and good into a situation. That's one of the most difficult false sense of prayer to overcome, because the true sense of life, as we have seen there, is always that we go back to principle, and that we say to principle, let principle rule the situation. Let principle be the life-giving quality. Let principle have its way, and I'm quite willing to lay aside my own will, my own desires, my own ways, my own ambitions, everything of my own, I lay aside. I give the way free for life. The religious sense of prayer comes in here and says, I want to pray so that this and this situation turns out such and such. And we put ourselves up as the creator. Then the sixth prayer. You see, this fifth prayer is such a help to the beginner in Christian science, because the beginner in Christian science, or somebody who turns to Christian science for help, he is asking the false sense of the fifth prayer. He's asking that his problem is going to be solved in such and such a way. Usually he's going to say that. Said, look here, this is the situation, and God, with God all things are possible, so God should intervene in such and such a way that the situation is solved in such and such a way. And then when it comes out like this, then I'm happy. And I feel that's God's way. See? It's putting life, God, aside. You see, it's the fifth day. And in the second record of creation, the counterfeit of the fifth day is where it is said, and ye shall be as God, and ye shall know what is good and evil. That's the point. It's always there where we know. We know jolly well what's good and evil. And so we are going to tell God what he has to work out. Because we can tell him what is good. When we come to life, then the big turning point always comes, of laying down one's own way of life, one's own way of doing. And then only the brightness and the openness of the firmament really is spreading out above us. Or take the sixth prayer, you remember we saw, it was the prayer of the affirmation of truth and of the denial of evil. The false sense of prayer is different. The false sense, religious sense of prayer is that we pray to God that he reconciles truth and error. That which we have done wrong will be sanctified by God. Or that which we have done wrong may not count in the balance of God. We want somehow that the wrong is sanctified by God. But the true sense of prayer says there is not only one sanctification, and that is that you go into the sanctuary of spirit and put out sinful sin and let in only the true sin. It's asking God really to sanction our deeds, to reconcile the divine with the human. That cannot be done. The truth comes always in and says, I'm whole, I'm whole. I cannot let in the last little bit of error. Truth stands guard always at the door of the sanctuary. Says, I let only in that which is true. And so every prayer where we like that all what we may have done wrong may be right. We would like to pray that it is considered to be right, or that it is considered as unimportant, or that it is acknowledged as the best one can do, and so on. And all this in that wonderful sixth prayer is uncovered. There is one sharp cut, the sword of truth, which says not a single spot of erroneous feelings and actions and thoughts can enter the sanctuary of spirit. There is no reconciliation. And then the last prayer, the seventh prayer, which we have, that prayer of trustworthiness to the one God, where we saw that without fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. There comes in the false sense of prayer, the mistaken sense of prayer, which considers any sort of prayer sufficient. Instead of seeing that only a prayer which is adequate to the needs can meet the needs. A prayer that is short, so to say, of the standard of prayer can never meet the needs. See, and the seventh prayer has shown that the prayer of soul, of the Lord's prayer, can meet every human need. But that prayer is that prayer which says, I give to God all. And I cannot pray for a part of God. I can only pray for the whole of God. I cannot pray for something which God is not. God is not a part of himself. God is only that which he is. And so every prayer in us which does not want to have the whole of being, which does not open up thought and the heart and the feeling and the longing to the whole of being, really doesn't meet the need. Only the whole is the one God. And so by putting one's complete trust in any sort of prayer instead of in God is not a real prayer. So we see that so often that we take just, or that religion takes just any prayer, any sort of prayer, and usually has a whole prayer book with dozens or hundreds of prayers, a prayer for each day in the year, for each occasion in the day, for each situation in the world, and so it has a different prayer. And it's always a part, it always appeals to a part instead of the whole. Whereas the Lord's prayer is always directed to the Father in heaven, the adorable One, thy kingdom come, thy whole kingdom, thy will be done. It's always going to the whole and never to a part. And it's a big sense of prayer which is presented there, and a beautiful sense of prayer. But religion always wants to belittle things. Religion is always out to take something small instead of taking the whole. It doesn't consider it as right to take God as he is and to approach God in his wholeness and holiness. But Mrs. Day said, without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. And so, without a fitness inward for the wholeness of God, we cannot receive what God has in store. Now, perhaps, when you go home, you just take up that chapter on prayer once again, and perhaps you go over it again, and ask yourself through the text, really, what is brought out there as a false, mistaken, religious sense of prayer? Because we will see that more and more. See, I think in the last few years, the papers and periodicals and so on put more and more stress on prayer. I think that also medicine and medical people begin to feel the power of a prayer, the importance of a prayer, the necessity to pray, and so on. But when that comes up, let's be clear that prayer is not just, that any sort of prayer is not just a real prayer. That because we give to something the name of prayer, to a text or to a ritualism or to any form of worship, the sense of prayer, let's see that doesn't embody prayer, real prayer. And we can usually help people at the beginning more by uncovering to them a false sense, the false sense of prayer, the hideousness of this false sense of prayer. And then through that, point and hint to the logical, reasonable sense of prayer. I like that first chapter very much, and I go back to it as often as I can, because it seems that through thousands of years of religious teaching, each one of us has been just imbued with a false, narrow, little sense of prayer. For instance, this sense that prayer is asking something in order to get something, it's so pertinent in one thought. Whereas what Mrs. Eddy presents is exactly the contrary of it. It says, no, it is giving And that gives the ability to receive. It is a willingness to give to God first what belongs to Him. We have seen that only really the God life can reach or approach God, that only the mind life can approach mind, that only the spirit life can approach spirit, that only life can approach life. You see? And when we take the sense of asking, we can see how how contradictory our mentality usually is. See, in the first subject, we ask God, and mistakenly, to be broad-minded with us. But the question really is, are we broad-minded? We ask in the second subject God to purify a situation. But the question is really in prayer, are we willing to love the pure? The third is we ask mistakenly that God is going to change us or a situation. But the question is much more, are we willing to change? Or we ask in the fourth that God is going to be honest and loyal to us and doesn't let us go and forsake us. But the question is, are we loyal to Him? Are we forsaking Him or not? Are we honest to Him? Or in the fifth, we ask God to give us more life, more abundance of life. We like to ask Him that. But the question is not that. The question is, are we willing to let our false sense of life go? Are we willing to take that life which is already at hand? Or in the sixth subject, we may ask God to establish the true and ask God, be true and establish the true and see to it that only the true will be established and that the right, that the wrong will have no establishment. We ask Him that. But the question is really in prayer, are we establishing that which is true? Are we denying that which is wrong? Are we willing to let the false be false? And are we willing to let the true be true? That's the question. God is true anyway. Or in the seventh, we ask God mistakenly to be all-saving. But the question is really, are we willing to accept God in His all-saving mission? Or do we only ask that He's going to save me, or him, or she, or the patient? Or are we really taking God as He is, namely that He's all-saving, that He's saving all, in all ways, in all times, in all circumstances, in all situations, in all respects, and so on. So can you see how religious sense has really distorted the whole sense of prayer and has made God a servant for men, where men ask God something and God should go and do it, whereas the bigness and the holiness of being is established for Abraham was, is, and shall be, and it is a question of are we going to change our attitude and accept God as He is. Now, we make a little pause.